What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Debra Royale. Today, we are talking through our final franchise fix of the year. We are fixing the New England Patriots. We haven't done the Patriots yet. I don't know how that kind of slipped through our grasps throughout draft season, but we're less than a week away from the draft, and we're going to do some crazy stuff here with the Patriots. So stay tuned through the intro. Make sure you like this video and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. All right, we are here talking about the New England Patriots. There's obviously a lot of chatter about what they are going to do with the number three overall pick. They do have a ton of draft capital to kind of maneuver. They do have some cap space. They've had an active free agent period. And so we'll quickly go over those two things because we are going to add one more free agent post-draft that we'll mention here. But Randy, how has this offseason gone? I guess you could start with Mac Jones. Yeah. Get out, Mac.
Yeah. See you later, Bill Belichick, and bring in a new GM and coach and get rid of Mac Jones since he was broken. Sent out of the Jaguars for a late six-round pick. Nothing big. Just a full reset here. Meaning a lot of people are focusing on the quarterback position for the Patriots this draft. So are we, but it's going to be a little bit different for us. But going into the draft with effective cap space of just over $44 million after paying your draft picks, your current draft standing. And then for the offseason, they retained a good amount of guys. Nathan Rourke, Kendrick Osborne, Jalen Reagor, Hunter Henry, Mike Onwenu, Josh Uche, Kyle Duggar are all the biggest ones, obviously, with Kendrick Bourne and Onwenu and Duggar being their stars, which I guess is a whole separate conversation. Bringing in Jacoby Brissett to 1 year, $8 million to be your starting quarterback going into this season, no matter really who you draft, if it's at three or not. Brissett's good enough that whatever rookie's coming in is going to have a lot of work to do. The saying's usually, if it's close, go with the rookie. I find it tough for anyone, even Drake May, who we both really like. He's going to have to show a good amount in a quick time, which is really the issue, to get ahead of Brissett, who has a lot of trust within the organization. Bringing in Antonio Gibson as well to compete for running back snaps. KJ Osborne, sorry, all the slot receivers going together. Being brought in on a short-term, a one-year deal, I believe. I don't think it was posted when I checked all the details of it yet. But one-year deal for KJ Osborne to try and... Sorry, alarms. Try and balance. That's just terrible for that, by the way. Balance the running back room. Sorry, listeners, on that. And then Austin Hooper as well to help out the passing game, be a good tight end to kind of filling in something they haven't truly had for a little bit here. And a couple just little signings. Anfernee Jennings, Okorafor, Tyler Wheatley, Armon Watts, Taki Taki to rotate in the linebacker room. Nothing spectacular, but they did all the little work to get all major holes filled, I'd say, minus the quarterback of the future, wide receiver, X receiver of the future, and then left tackle. Everything else is at least spoken for a year to two.
Yeah. One kind of area that we still want to add to, though. So we're going to bring in Stephon Gilmore. We're going to bring him back. This is going to be a post-draft signing, but he's still out there. I think this makes a ton of sense. You don't need to go corner super early if you have this plan. That's kind of what we're banking on, because we are going to, like we've kind of alluded to, we're going to maneuver around in this draft a little bit more than we normally have. And then I think a lot of Patriots fans are split on this of what they want to do. But I do want to, before we get into the trade down, which we've alluded to, the reason I advocated for a trade down, and Randy actually, I think, kind of agrees, we'll talk through it, but this roster is not ready for a rookie quarterback. And I know that there's some certain lines of thinking that suggest, well, you get the quarterback first, then you build up the roster. We've seen that fail so many times. I mean, look at Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones, with a good roster around him, is a fine starting quarterback. He's not great. He was overdrafted. We knew that at the time. But I also don't think that you want to place a rookie in a similar situation coming out of that era. So my personal opinion is that they should trade back, acquire as much capital as they can, push the quarterback decision, you know, down the road or down the draft board as we kind of do here, and then kind of go from there. Randy, do you kind of agree that that's the best way to approach this season, this offseason?
For them, I think so. The main argument against is, if you trust in the new coaches, if you trust in Brissett to win a couple of games, you might have to, you're trading back, having, you know, most likely the Vikings sell the farm to get up to your pick, where you might have to do something very similar next year to get a worse quarterback, possibly. I mean, unless you take a quarterback later in this draft, and then that's your plan for 1 to 2 years, and we'll see how it works out, kind of thing. Besides that, like, we're not in love with this quarterback class next year. We've seen guys already pushed way up for no reason. You know, bad mechanics, bad timing, bad everything, but flashy plays, and I guess that's what kind of does it for some people. So that's why the main argument is, are the Patriots going to be picking at 3 again in this coaching cycle? And I'd argue not. I do believe in what they have, just because of what they had in the past and how they've learned. Everything you've heard all offseason is they're not going to follow the same mistakes as GM Belichick, which is the only real mistake they really had.
Yeah, that's fair. I understand that line of thinking. I also think they could be picking number 3 overall once again next year. This defense might be too good for that, though. I will admit that. Yeah.
But, I mean, we see everything go crazy in the NFL. I mean, they could draft Drake May and he gets hurt week 1, and then they draft 1 overall and possibly pick a quarterback next year just to throw it all out of whack. You know, nothing's for sure or set in stone in the NFL.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's get to the mock draft, what you've all been waiting for, probably. I'll go ahead with the first pick. We did trade down, traded 103 in the 2025 fourth to the Vikings for the 11th pick, the 23rd pick, and a 2025 first. This seems to be about the capital that it will require for anyone to get up to 3. I don't know if the Vikings would be willing to do this for any of these quarterbacks, but I think the notion that they're willing to wait is a lot of smoke. A report came out the day that we're recording this that they are working the phones very, very hard to try to move up and select the guy that they want. My belief is that that is Drake May. For them, I think they could also like J.J. McCarthy quite a bit, but it doesn't matter. We traded back to number 11, and we took Troy Fatanu, the offensive tackle from Washington. I say offensive tackle. He's an offensive lineman. You can deploy him as a starting left tackle probably to start his career. If that doesn't work out, he's going to be a fantastic guard. I think he can play all 5 spots. This is a player that's had a fantastic process that should absolutely be in consideration for a top 15 pick when all is said and done.
Yeah, and they're kind of a weird offensive line build where most of their pieces are versatile, except maybe like David Andrews, who's an aging center, obviously. So you brought back, you brought back your right tackle from last year, who I think could flip over, but he's moved around enough. I'd rather keep him there. I do believe Fatanau can really stick at left tackle if they need him to, but it seems like they're confident in what they have, but if they trade back, he's going to be the best player on the board at a position in need for them. So it'll fit well. Next position of need, the wide receiver, minus the quarterback, obviously. And we did talk about, do we switch this and do Bo Nix at 23 and go for a different receiver at 34 and try and make it work? And we're both, you know, grading of the belief that Bo Nix is a day 2 quarterback and
early,
there's a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is almost as early as you could go.
So. Exactly.
And honestly, the teams at the back end of the first, probably not teams that are all thrilled to be trading with the Patriots for a future quarterback that could be theirs in the future. So right. just saying. So especially the Bills at 28, like, which is the biggest team of possibly trading back very late. So we sit back here, take Adonai Mitchell, phenomenal receiver, easily the only X on the roster for this team, but a guy that's shown a lot of flashes and a guy that shows up and makes the big plays when you need him to. Are there some plays he takes off? Sure. Under this new regime, is that going to happen? I don't think so. So I do think the Patriots are going to be a little bit more player-friendly than they were in the past, but they're still going to be a no-nonsense group. And I think it'll help Adonai Mitchell become as good as he should be as long as the quarterback play is good enough. And we know, you know, obviously, spoiler for people on Spotify, obviously the visual people saw that Bo Nix went at 34. So Bo Nix throwing downfield, deep shots, not really a thing we've seen a ton of. But Brissett loves to do that. And we know he'll force feed the top guy. So I think this is a phenomenal landing spot for him. And improved blocking up front, Mitchell can break away outside, make big plays all over the field. And whoever's at quarterback should be able to get in the ball.
Yeah, I am kind of upset with us because we had an opportunity to give Bo Nix Troy Franklin. I assume that Troy Franklin was still there for us at 23, but it's okay because that rarely happens, by the way. It has happened a couple times, but it rarely happens, especially in the same draft class.
Yeah, I offered to flip Bo Nix to 23, and we could have gotten Franklin at 34, but no.
I know. I think Franklin will be gone by 34 for what it's worth. I think he'll be either 32 or 33 when all is said and done, but who knows? I could be very wrong on that. Pick 34. We're taking Bo Nix. We just mentioned that, but this build right here is we kind of talked about it. This is the optimal situation because you've just added premium players to three separate positions instead of just getting the quarterback. And when we talked about, you know, maybe they don't pick in the top three, but maybe even after all of this, they do. You now just have a second round quarterback that you might find out quickly is it or is not it. I think Bo Nix has starter capability. I have him comp to Derek Carr. Maybe you want to shoot for a higher ceiling player, but like Randy mentioned, we don't know if that's in the 2025 class. So you take Bo Nix, you give him time. You don't need him to start right away, but I do think that he can in a pinch, or if you find out that he's better than Brissett. And now you're set up with an actual left tackle of the future or an offensive lineman of the future, an actual wide receiver, which is something this team does not have, and potentially a quarterback of the future, which I think personally is the optimal way to do this.
Yeah, you could kind of pick your poison between Penix and Nix at that 34 pick. We were with Nix. I think there's... They both played a ton. There's just less mileage on Nix's body. And I'm not quite sure what this offense is going to look like, but when you have a two-headed backfield, a veteran quarterback, and four, five, six slot receivers currently, with only one being added on the outside X and Adonai Mitchell in this draft, that tells me it's going to be a short game. So if that's the case, I'd rather have Nix than Penix.
Yeah,
because he's not going to make mistakes.
Yep, that's 100% correct, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then third round, we went with Braylon Trice, the edge from Washington. After especially signing Gilmore, your biggest need left is edge, in my opinion. You could argue offensive line of the future, like a center or guard, or if you want Fontenot to play guard, right guard, instead of Sidy Sow, you could argue a tackle there. But besides that, they might not be world beaters, but they don't need a starting safety. Now they don't need a starting corner. They just need one to rotate into the future, because even with that side, they only really have like four quarters I care about. linebackers, you sign some. So edge rusher is a biggest need, I'd say. And yes, it's more of a stand-up edge rusher along the sides of Matthew Judon, Jennings, and Uche. But Jennings and Uche are – short-term signings. Let's get a guy in that we know is a ball of energy and can make plays. He's a stubborn rusher, so I expect that to mesh well with his scheme and the fits around him. Learning from Judon would be the best for him easily. I mean, there's plenty of guys that he could learn from, and it'd be great for him. But in this team, in this coaching, I think he could truly thrive probably to what they've wanted Uche to do, which he kind of started to do last year.
Yeah. Add in Keon White to that mix, and I think you've got a solid ability. For sure. Yeah, but I just mean, like, you're kind of attacking both sides now, which is something that I don't think they have the ability to do. Shout out Dietrich Wise as well. All right, here at fourth round, pick 103, we're taking Chris Abrams-Drain, corner from Missouri. This is a kid that I think could push into the third round. 103 is really like an extension of the third round. It's right there. I know you'll see a lot of mocks with him going before day two ends, but this is a kid that he's a little undersized, but he tested pretty well at the combine. He has ball skills that I think will translate in a good way. I think his size might inhibit him against bigger wide receivers, but I will also, I know this isn't the same Patriots team, but they thrive with smaller corners. They get nasty corners that can, you know, fight in those situations. Abrams-Drain kind of fits that mold for me. And so I think he's a good fit here. You get another outside corner potentially. If it doesn't work out, you've got a nice little slot rotation with Marcus Jones. So you're feeling pretty good about all that.
Yeah. All right. Fifth round and this graphic. Will Shipley, running back from Clemson. Arguably a my guy for me. We'll see how that goes. honestly, this probably... it's perfect fit for the Patriots, but for Shipley, it's kind of like a long-term my guy. I really liked what I saw early in college. And I do think there's been a ton of struggles at Clemson that make his draft stock plummet. And it's not his fault. He was, I'd argue, their best offensive player for the last two or three years. And good burst, good vision, a great one-cut running back, which is perfect for this scheme. Very decisive and, you know, headstrong runner and just a phenomenal passing weapon for this team. It can be used to help out all these slots. But he's flashed the route running and usage downfield, but just an outlet. He's arguably the best of the class. Yeah, it's an average or small frame, not a great strength. So he's not really running through guys with great balance. But besides that, he could, especially in the fifth round, you know, you have Stevenson and Gibson, who might not be on the team in 2 years. The rest of the running backs in this room could be gone at training camp. Nothing special at all. So I think Shipley can really carve out a role. Seeing him in a Patriots uniform might bring flashbacks for a lot of people from a lot of different running backs of the past. So I think that's a good thing for him.
Rex Burkhead, baby.
Danny Woodhead.
Hopefully, 30. Hopefully not Rex Burkhead. I mean,
no. I'd rather. Woodhead's definitely closer.
Yeah. Skill set wise, for sure. I love this pick. You texted, you couldn't help yourself, and I totally get it. Totally get it. All right. Here at in the sixth round, pick 180, we're going to take Nelson Caesar III, the edge from Houston. Fantastic name for what it's worth. Not why we drafted him though. He's one of these other like kind of probably stand up outside linebacker edges that has a really good toolbox. I think that he's a high motor type of player. He is a bit short. He's 6'3", but his arms aren't super, super long. So I will say that his motor is definitely going to have to take him there, but as a sixth round pick, potentially getting a depth edge rusher on a team that will rotate their edges consistently with some special teams upside as well. He's good enough that I think he can contribute on special teams. We've talked about it before, but here on day three, not many people talk about how important it is to get guys who can play special teams. And so we went out, we got an upside play that can also contribute on that side of the ball. So we'll see. I mean, you're double tapping edge rusher here, and hopefully that gives you enough that you are feeling pretty good about your future at that position.
Yeah, and you know, you don't have to use one of your top. I mean, you used a third round pick on edge, and I think that he instantly goes in the rotation. But again, this is a team that's not filled. It's not a good team, but it's not an existential whole team like we've had in the past for some of these organizations. You know, there's quality starters or above average veteran starters at every position. So that's the biggest thing of like drafting the quarterback at three. It's like, yes, you need to really hit the rest of those picks then, but at least this sets you up for the future. Second six round pick, 169, the Mac Jones trade pick. We get a backup center in Matt Lee. Good strength, a lot of double teams for Miami. And just to me, he's, especially in the sixth round, he's a good backup that I think could play guard and center. But he's definitely a center that could is really going to thrive with strong guards next to him. I think he can help you be that leader there and do a lot of good things with communications, double teams. But if the head-on-head, I think he's going to struggle a little bit just from snap getting his feet stuck. But that's very coachable. You have one of the best centers in the last couple decades starting over you that you can learn from. I think with this coaching staff as well, you can draft these late, you know, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and really figure it out over a couple of years. And he could be a starting piece to replace Andrews.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. I mean, my thing is, I think you have to attempt center in this draft, just with how old Andrews is. We talked about him retiring like 3 years ago, and obviously that hasn't happened yet, but that just seems like a position that they need to try at some point here soon.
Well, and their backup interior offensive lineman, you know, stop me if you heard of him, Nick Leverett, Jake Andrews, and Antonio Maffey. Yes, Jake, it's Andrews. Patriots off. I know. It's just funny. It's like, you know, you don't necessarily, especially a lineman in the sixth round, you don't really have to quantify it, but we always feel like we do. But it's just, if it's just another guy to help compete with those three, to help, it's going to be better than what we have.
Yeah. All right. We're going to round out this draft with another potential special teams player, but also a kid that might add to your safety room. They obviously, we talked about it, but they signed Jalen Hawkins, but their safety depth isn't really all that great behind Jabril Peppers and Kyle Duggar. And so we're going to add a piece that probably not the highest upside player, but also one of the more solid seventh round or priority free agent picks that you can make. Omar Brown, the safety out of Nebraska. He's not the most explosive player in the world, but he sees the field really well and he reads and reacts really, really well. So when you're talking about having a safety that can play the ball over the top, this is kind of the depth type of player, because Duggar's definitely going to be in the box more. He's going to be flying around the field more. There is potential to play three safeties. They signed Jalen Hawkins to potentially be that third safety, but you want to take another shot at that position in case that's a move that really fits this defense well. And once again, he could play special teams, and that is important here.
He could easily be a gunner for you, but he's a plus player minus athlete. Like, that's my best way to describe him. Because whether it's man or zone, press, coming in to tackle, like, breaking up balls, ball tracking, ball skills. Like, he's got all of it, but, like, he's not – like, he's definitely just a player. He's a little bit of a throwback safety just because he's not, like, an elite athlete. But if you're going to be a rotational safety, that's easily able to make the field.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's go through the new depth chart before we get out of here, if I can see it on the screen. So at quarterback, we have Jacoby Brissett, Bo Nix, and Nathan Rourke. I took Bailey Zappe out of here. I think he's gone in this scenario. I think they signed Nathan Rourke this offseason. I think that's a better upside play than Bailey Zappe at this point. Speaking of which, his brother also pretty good playing at Indiana this year. He's a 2025 guy. Would be pretty cool if the Rourke brothers are the solution at quarterback for the Patriots. But running back, we have Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson, and Will Shipley. Wide receivers, we have Adonai Mitchell, KJ Osborne, Jalen Reagor, Kayshon Boutte, maybe, DeMario Douglas, Juju Smith-Schuster, Kwon Baker, Kendrick Bourne, Tyquan Thornton. I will say, we only added the one wide receiver. Maybe I'm a fool, but Tyquan Thornton is getting jacked this offseason. I don't know if anyone's seen all of that. I'm sure if you're watching this, you're a Patriots fan and you do know that. If he can get a little stronger and he can play a little bit more and not sacrifice some of that speed, you might have an okay wide receiver room. Might.
Yeah, I mean, Kadri Osborne, we know he could play inside, outside. He's a good complimentary piece. DeMario Douglas looked like a star half the weeks last year. Same with Kendrick Bourne before his injury. Tyquan Thornton, you need to figure a few things out. Juju Smith-Schuster is better left on the, you know, practice squad at this point. And Boutte, if you could figure it out with him, he's a plus athlete and plus player that he can do stuff. But there's just nothing clicking right now.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But you can't fix everything.
Correct. Yeah, and I mean, honestly, DeMario Douglas is the piece to build around, in my opinion. And yeah, I like Bourne for what he is, but you know, he's getting up there in age too. So, offensive line, left to right, Troy Fanu, Cole Strange, David Andrews, City So, Mike Onwenu, tight end, you've got Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper. There's a flurry of backups at offensive line that I'm not going to read off. On the other side of the ball, we've got Keon White, Dietrich Wise, Braylon Trice, Nelson Caesar, Matthew Judon, Josh Uche, Anfernee Jennings as your edge rushers. Different types, like we've mentioned. I just threw them all as edge rushers here. Devon Godshaw, that's really your only nose tackle that you care about. Christian Barmore, Armin Watts. Your corners, we've got Stephon Gilmore, Christian Gonzalez, Sean Wade, Marco Wilson, Jonathan Jones, Chris Abrams Drain in the wrong color on this graphic. My apologies. Marcus Jones as your corners. Linebackers, we've got Jelani Tavai, Jawan Bentley as your starter, Sione Takitaki rotating in, Marte Mapu rotating in, Christian Ellis rotating in potentially. This is a sneaky landing spot for his brother Jonah. For what it's worth, he'd fit really well in that Uche role. And then safeties, we've got Jabril Peppers and Kyle Duggar, and those are the only two that really matter. So,
yeah, and to me, this is a building block. You know, obviously, Bo Nix has to work out. You're going to have to reinvest in the receiver position next year as well, possibly in the offensive line. But to me, like, you're going to figure out the corners this year for sure. Christian Gonzalez looks great. Marcus Jones looked great. Jonathan Jones looked great in spurts. Like, adding in Gilmore, you got your four that it's going to be figured out this year who's staying, who's going. Obviously, Gilmore won't be staying. But you have a good starting secondary with role players rotating in. Linebackers, nothing really to write home about, in my opinion. But athletes, guys that are leaders and are willing to play anywhere, as we saw with Takitaki in the last 3 years with the Browns. So a very strong D-line. I'm not sure about sack production from the team, but strong D-line. That'll be tough against the run for sure. And, you know, if that defense plays how it should, Bo Nix and Brissett can win games with 17 points. You know, they're not going to be like the Browns with Brissett, like that level of defense, but they could be comparable. And Brissett played well above what he had to in those games.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like I said, the optimal fix. I think when all is said and done, they're probably taking a quarterback at three. But yeah, our goal with these is to do what we would do and how we would fix them. And so that's kind of the route that we took. That might not be what happens. And yeah, if you're a Patriots fan, let us know which way you want to go in the comments.
Quickly, you take Drake May at three. What do you do with the second and third pick? What are at least positions or maybe a couple guys you target? Because that's the other best option.
So, I mean, I personally would hit wide receiver first. I think they're probably going to hit offensive tackle first. I think they're going to go
Jordan Morgan, Kingsley. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's probably best case around there.
I mean, maybe Guyton's still sitting there.
Maybe.
Probably not.
Wide receiver sitting there. We covered it. Maybe Leggett, Troy Franklin. Receivers they would need. Worthy, maybe. It's taking a better shot at Thornton.
Yeah, but like, they just need to go get a dude at wide receiver.
Well, and they really, they need an X. They don't have anyone comparable to that. And that's why Adonai was the obvious choice. You know, any of the top before that, sure.
Yeah, Brian Thomas.
The top five, fit. And then you get to look at a couple others that we know can play outside. Even Ladd McConkey, I'd be fine with in that second round there. We're trading up quick, you know, a couple spots. But third, I mean, maybe Blake Fisher at offensive tackle, flipping over to the left side, great tape. Rosengarten, if he's there, good tape. Yeah. Can figure it out, I'm sure. Receivers, McMillan, Polk. Baker, nothing. I mean, good receivers, but I'd say out of those, maybe Polk or Baker would be the most outside relevant in the third.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But all right, let us know what you think in the comments. We will be back with a few videos this week, so make sure you check those out. Make sure you subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. We'll talk to you guys with some my guys, mock draft. Some cool stuff coming your way. So thank you guys for watching. We'll catch you guys next time.